Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Hear God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Hi, my name is Doxology. It's a Greek name, Doxa. You probably know my English name better. In English, I am Glory. On this first day after the birth of Jesus, if you are listening, you can still hear my name echoing off the hills of Bethlehem and through the valley. Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest. On this Sabbath, we pause at the manger to worship and adore Emmanuel, God with us. We share a Christmas doxology, a Christmas song of praise. I am Doxology, and my purpose is not to have you listen to a sermon or acquire more information, but to bow in wonder at the unspeakable gift of the Word becoming flesh. I am Doxology. And before that night in Bethlehem, my song had been quiet for 400 years, the same amount of time Israel had been enslaved in Egypt. Try to imagine the feeling, the void of not hearing the word of God in 400 years, while holding on to the hope of the Messiah's coming. The world is dark. The prophets are silent. There are no signs to see spiritually and morally. It's silence. It was as if hope had been extinguished. Everything was moving toward night, to which comes no morning. With that longing, they waited for Isaiah's prophecy to be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then after 400 years, God broke in the silence. God would not have God's son arrive unannounced. Joy and glory no longer be hidden. The whole plains were shimmering with the light of the heavenly host of God's heaven provided its own chorus to sing a doxology for this Christ child. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all. I am Doxology, and I want you to notice that the praise of God results in blessings to human beings. Emmanuel, God with us, is not elevated at the expense of anyone. God's elevation raises the condition of those who praise this holy child. Glory to God in the highest is followed immediately by peace and goodwill. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. And the blessing that came down that night brings peace and the favor of God on all people. I am doxology. I'm singing like rolling thunder. Glory to God. Christmastide is my special season. Although if you are listening, you can hear my name in every season, in every age, through all eternity. In good times and hard times, in joyful times and in times of sorrow, you will hear my name. Of course, some times are easier than others to remember the glory of God. One of the easiest times was in the fields when the shepherds, on the night that Jesus was born. I am doxology. I went with the shepherds when they hurried to see the child, and I was with them afterwards as well. In fact, that's why Luke, the gospel writer, recorded, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen." I am doxology. You can hear my name in the hardest of times, times when things have not gone well, when dreams have been squashed, when you've gotten confirmation of a dreaded diagnosis, when Christmas comes and you can't be with your family, or when this Christmas is the first one without a loved one who died during the year. Indeed, my work brings divine perspective to the difficult times. I am doxology. That's why the prophet Amos, in the space between his hard words about Israel's rejecting God's correction and his lament for Israel's sins, praise God, who forms the mountains, creates the wind, reveals his thoughts to mortals, makes the morning darkness, and treads on the heights of the earth. So yes, I am doxology. My work is also for hard times. In fact, what better time to remember the glory of God, who, as Paul wrote, is able to strengthen you than when the going gets rough? What better time do we need to be able to recall that God, by the power of work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine? Once Paul was writing to the Romans, and he was at his deepest theological point in the part of the letter that you know as chapter 11. He was talking about salvation and how Israel will eventually be saved, but his remarks were heavy, with words about some people being imprisoned in disobedience. So I, doxology, tapped his shoulder, and from his pen came this: everything comes from God. Everything happens through God. Everything ends in God. Always glory. Always praise. Yes, yes, yes. And later, when Paul got to the end of that letter, having included personal greetings and final instruction for the life of the church, Paul takes a pause, as though not sure what to say next. So So I, doxology, gave him a good tap. He then wrote, "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever." One of the preachers of our day, John Piper, explained well the connection between Paul's deepest theologizing and his lyric doxological outbursts. Piper writes, "From a biblical standpoint, study and thinking and knowing are never ends in themselves. They always stand in the service of feeling and willing and doing. The mind is the servant of the heart. Knowledge exists for the sake of love. And all theology worth its salt produces doxology. I am doxology, not a mantra. I am not a repeated assertion of self, such as I will overcome this, or I choose to live large, or I have the courage to follow my heart and intuition. In fact, I declarations are not part of what I do. Mine are God declarations. I am doxology, and I help you remember who God is." Centuries before the angel's song, the Lord sent me to the psalmist when they were recording their prayers, cries, and pleadings. I help them to remember to add the praises. I tap the psalmist on the shoulder, and words of praise rang forth. Awesome is God in his sanctuary. The God of Israel, he gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. I am doxology. The whole earth, the vast sanctuary of God's cosmos, gives glory to God. Later, I tap Charles Wesley on the shoulder with this truth as he penned his hymns. Charles Wesley was John Wesley's younger brother, and in 1739, he published Hymns and Sacred Poems, which contains the famous hymn we know as "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." But this wasn't the original title. In Charles Wesley's original, the hymn begins, "Hark, how all the welkin ring." What's a welkin? It's an old English word that refers to the sky, the firmament, the vault of heaven that contains the star and all the heavenly hosts. In an ancient cosmology, the welkin was like a set of crystal spheres that would ring, as in the music of the spheres. The first line of this carol went like this: "Hark, how all the welkin ring, glory to the King of Kings." The message is that the whole of creation, the whole cosmos, was ringing with the good news of the birth of the world's true and long-awaited King. That's quite different from the verse that we know, sing now and is familiar to us. And that verse that we know is actually the result of an unauthorized edit to Charles Wesley's original work by his friend George Whitefield. Whitefield changed the line to read, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." The change made Charles Wesley mad. Not only because it was done without permission, but because it made the hymn a little less biblically powerful. Wesley noted that the angel in verse 13 don't sing, they say, and the glory given by the angel is to God in the highest heaven. Yes, the newborn king is God in flesh and worthy of praise. But Wesley wanted to express the message of the angel as a sign that the whole cosmos, both heaven and earth, give glory to God at Jesus' birth, which is really the thrust of the biblical narrative. For Wesley, and indeed Luke, the birth of Jesus is a sign of heaven and earth coming together, God and humanity, Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, I actually ran in to doxology a few weeks ago. Heaven and earth coming together. His name was not Glory, it was Bob. Bob was driving a semi-truck and arrived at the food pantry door. The truck was carrying 23 boxes, 250 pounds of boys' underwear. I knew the truck was coming. I had received a call the day before that the driver was going to bring the boxes but would not be unloading them. He would bring them to the front of the truck, and we would have to unload. I said, "Don't you have a lift gate to drop them to the..." She said, "I'm not sure. You might have to get up and unload them to the truck." I was a little bit apprehensive when the truck pulled in. And it pulled in a kind of precarious time. It pulled up just as the staff party and holiday breakfast was beginning. I was up in McFarland and could see through the windows and saw this truck coming around, and I thought, oh man, where am I going to find people to unload this thing? It couldn't be a better time. So I ran down there. Then Bob jumped out of the truck. And friends, doxology jumped out too. Bob began witnessing to the power of God in his life. He said, "I have come to these doors many times. I used to come to your pantry. I made a lot of bad decisions. I was using. And your church helped me get through that time. I have been clean and sober for 2 years. I have a good job, and I have my family back." He showed me a bracelet on his wrist that said, "I boast on God." In other words, I thought, I am doxology. He told me how God had blessed him. He was honored that God had given him the opportunity to make a delivery to the church, that he has blessed him so many times. He was joyfully praising God that he was able to bring something through the doors and not out of the doors. I was grateful that the truck actually had a lift gate, so he could bring the pallet of 250 pounds of boys' underwear to the ground. I said that I would try to go find some folks to unload the pallet. Bob said, hold on. No, you're not. I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to bring this pallet in and drop it exactly where you want it. Bob followed me into the mission suite. I showed him where to drop the pallet. I explained that all the boxes lined up in the room were family boxes and told him what he was bringing in was underwear for little boys who are our North Side neighbors. Bob was a little choked up at that point. There was some tears. Bob said, what a blessing. I know how much joy you are giving. Praise God. I am so blessed to drop this off. God has blessed us. God is good. He showed me his bracelet once more. I boast about God. Praise God. I praise God for this church and all that you do. I don't know if I would have been what I would have happened if I it would have been without this church. God is so good. Merry Christmas. Jesus lives today and every day. Bob, like John of Patmos, knew what it means to unwrap the gift of the Messiah's birth. I, doxology, was there with John of Patmos as the golden wrapping paper surrounding the birth of Jesus came off and the glory of the Lord was revealed. I am doxology, and I gave voice to John's revelation. You are worthy, our God, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. If the angels spend eternity giving glory to God, then what's keeping us from doing the same in the present time? Bob had it right. I boast on God. Amen.